Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Today we're talking Queen Boss. Today we're talking Queen Boss. All right, so we're back with another episode recap for episode 4 of Queen Boss on Centric TV, which actually airs on Saturdays. You have to check your local listings for timing, as I always say, because I'm not exactly sure when it comes on in your area. But in episode 4, we had judges Lauren Lake, we had Vanessa Simmons, and we had special guest judge Robin Wilson. And Robin Wilson is an eco-friendly interior designer who has generated more than $80 million in revenue for her company. So I think we can just end it there. I don't think we need to say much more about Robin. She probably knows her stuff if she's managed to create a business that has generated this type of revenue. So now we'll go ahead and get into the contestants. Like I did before, I'm going to tell you straight away who I really liked and who I was rooting for the whole time. The person that I was rooting for was Kim with Jams by Kim, and she happened to be first up with her pitch. Jams by Kim. Kim looked like she could have been someone's aunt. She was super cute. Her demeanor gave me a classic woman who was sure of herself and confident, yet sweet and humble. I loved her. I loved her presentation. I loved her vibe. So Kim and her artisan jams and jellies were a hit with the judges. They loved them. She has over 40 different flavors and she let the judges try them very early on in her pitch and they loved them. Even the judges that said that they weren't huge fans of jams and jellies, they loved them. I think a part of what she had going for herself is the flavors. She had some unique flavors, like she had a pear one, she had something with pepper another. I've never had a jam or a jelly with pepper, but the judges seem to like her jams and her jellies. In her story and in her pitch, she told us about how she started making the jams at 12 years old. She was taught by her mother and her grandmother, which brought in the feeling of home with her item. And jams and jellies, when people make them, you tend to think of like down south, family oriented, you know, very comfortable, comfort food types of situations anyways. So obviously she brought that into her pitch. She incorporated that. And she said that she got started with making the jams and jellies as she does now about some years ago. She didn't say how many years ago, but she said about the time that she got let go from her HR position. She got laid off and she started making them around holidays. It's like a holiday business venture. And then she continued on from there. And now she sells them online and at farmers markets and things. And one of the things that I like that she touched on is that she was approached by and working with, in talks with Whole Foods to sell her jams and her jellies. And she worked with them for several months before getting to a point where she realized that they wanted 50% of her sales. 50%. And she just felt kind of like Drake, like, you wasn't with me when I was shooting in the gym, you know? So she was kind of like, why should I give Whole Foods 50% of my earnings when they didn't help create the product? They're not creating it. They're not jarring it, all of that. But Lauren brought up a good point. She's like, okay, so on face value, we hear you, understand. It seems like you made the right move with turning down the Whole Foods account. But then she was like, oh, but as I think about it more, was it the right move? Because you could potentially be having 50% of millions of sales, Or you could be having 100% of very little to no sales. So Kim quickly chimed in and said, hey, wait a minute. In a very nice way, she let Lauren know that I'm not necessarily not making sales. Just because I'm not in Whole Foods doesn't mean that I'm not represented and being sold in other stores. So she mentioned that she's being sold in 3 specialty shops right now. And Robin brought up, the guest judge Robin, she brought up a very good idea. She suggested that maybe Kim think about partnering with like a hotel group, like who knows, like a Marriott, you know, like a big hotel chain group, because a lot of these hotel chains own a lot of properties under them and they all have different names and stuff. And Robin's suggestion was, why don't you partner with one of them so that you can have your jams and jellies in all of their hotels, namely in their rooms. You know, when you get your, let's say you get your breakfast from room service, usually if you order toast and things like that, it comes with a little jar of jam or jelly or something. And Robin's point was, why not be that supplier? That's a huge account that you could secure, and that's big money, that's long-term money. And Kim's reaction to that sort of, I think, set off a red flag for the judges. I think it became apparent at that point that maybe she had a bit of hesitation and fear about scaling, because she quickly shut down Robin's idea and was sort of like, yes, I've been talking to this bed and breakfast, not multiple, but one bed and breakfast. So that let them know that although she has a good product and she is confident in what she's selling and she has cute packaging, everything's working in her favor as far as the product, the packaging, and all of that, it seemed as though maybe she was potentially holding herself back from getting to that next level of distribution. So they left it there with Kim and moved on to the second pitch and the second contestant, which was Tarina McKinney. And Tarina sells Gypsy Leather Goods. That's the name of her business, Gypsy Leather Goods. It's an eco-friendly line of home goods and accessories. She started off telling us how her signature was this hobo looking reversible leather bag. She started off with leather handbag types of goods, and now she's moved into metal jewelry and upcycled furniture. Currently, all parts of her business are being executed and done by her. Everything from marketing to sourcing materials to actually doing the work with the materials to all the finance stuff, like everything is being done by her. So I really like that she incorporated that to let them know that, hey, I'm doing everything. This is a one-woman show right now. And she didn't say this, but maybe that could imply to the judges that with a portion of the money, she might use that to outsource some things that she's currently doing on her own and give some of the relief off of her so that she can maybe execute more of the creative stuff. So she went on to say that her goods are very unique. She showed this chair. She had this chair in the studio that she had upcycled, and it was a white chair. It looked very like a vanity chair, like a cute whimsical chair, but with a little edge to it. So the main colors were like gold and white. So the host of Queen Boss, Tracy Edmonds, went and sat in the chair, quickly realized that it wasn't the most comfortable chair to sit and lounge in. So then Tarina went on to explain that the chair was more so set up for a vanity set, maybe when a woman is sitting at the edge of her chair, just at her vanity table in her boudoir, putting her makeup on and things like that, not meant for so much long-term sitting. They asked how much the chair ran for. She said $525. You know, I wish they would have asked, or we would have, got to the portion where they did ask, so are you selling a lot of these chairs? Because I know that there is a market for this type of upcycled or recycled, whatever, however you want to say, refurbished material and furniture. But I wonder, is that a big portion of her business? We did not get a clear understanding if it was or if it wasn't. But she had other unique goods like sleep masks and unique rings that would obviously be conversation pieces, things like that. But they were concerned about her product offering, because the one thing that she didn't have there was these reversible leather bags that she said had done so well. Now, when we got to the end of the show and they started talking about these bags again, they mentioned that, which must have been off camera, they mentioned that she said these bags were like 15 years old, like that's so old, like that's why she didn't have them there. And she had like quite a few stores that were interested in them, but it's so old, it's after the thought. Now, I can understand where Tarina was coming from in the sense that when you are a creator and you're a creative, sometimes you're ready to move on. You're always, you know, thinking about the next idea, the next thing that you're going to do. So I can understand that, because having had a very eclectic and very creative jewelry business myself in the past, I know how it is to create. I know how it is when you create something, it's hot, it sells, it's good, and then you're off to the next thing. You're ready to move on to the next thing. Your mind is always creating and thinking of the next. So I can understand where she would be coming from when saying that, oh, she's kind of like over those bags. That's a thing of the past. But the judges really came back to something that they started talking about in a previous episode, really getting these women to understand that when you have a product that sells and when you have a product that works, you really, really make that work for you and you hone in on that. And I think it was Lauren that mentioned, you know, hey, Chanel has these gorgeous bags that they've been selling for years, but do you think that Chanel no longer sells their staple bag and their staple pieces because it's so old and it's so passe? No, they continue to sell them because it's now a staple of their brand and people love them. So they continue to give people what they love. I don't know if she received that message, but I hope that she did, because I think that's something that's definitely valuable for everyone that makes goods to be able to pick up on. It's like when you really have an item that works and when you really have an item that people like and they're actually buying, why not try and figure out, you know, how you can get them to buy more of that or continuously buy? Maybe you make small tweaks and stuff, but you don't need to waste your time and energy going out trying to find and figure out the next big thing that you can sell them on. You can do that, but you can also keep this consistent thing in the rotation so that you don't lose people and you keep that consistent business going along the way. I don't know if Tarina got it, but hopefully she did, because that seemed to be a point of concern for the judges. And the third contestant was, and person to give her pitch, was Sheila. And Sheila had this business called My Plush Closet. And My Plush Closet came from her love of bras, but her hate for bra shopping. So her and her twin sister, her identical twin sister who wasn't there, created a curated lingerie bra subscription service for women that wear a size bra 36DD to 44H. And she did mention that she had three co-founders. One of them, I'm assuming, was her sister that she mentioned, who wasn't there. She said that they want consumers to feel like they're getting a present in the mail. Now, she did own, she called it a lingerie company, but she only talked about bras and she only had bras on display. I may be missing something, but I did, when you say lingerie to me, it does make me think of all the Get Sexy items. You know, it makes me think of a bra, it makes me think of a panty, it makes me think of a set, it makes me think of a bustier, it makes me think of all of these accoutrements that go along with, you know, when you're trying to feel sexy and very feminine and you want to, you know, get your zhuzh on. So I don't know if bras is, you know, like their staple and what they just started with, but she did mention that they just started 6 months ago. So maybe they're working their way into other elements. So as the judges continued to question her, she basically told us that they're sourcing the bras from companies that already exist. They're not creating this stuff on their own. It's not like they have their own unique bra or lingerie line that they're sending out to people in these subscription boxes. They're sourcing items that women could potentially get on their own from other places. So the judges didn't really get into that and dig in deep to that so hard. They were more concerned with the fact that she had this 30-day return policy. Now, with the 30-day return policy, Lauren was like, okay, so are we selling used bras? Because they wanted to know, what does the policy consist of? If you return a bra, does it have to have like the original packaging? Does it have to have like the original tags on it or something? Because what's to say that these bras have not been worn? So I think that tripped her up a little bit. She said, no, we're not selling used bras. But then there was the question of, how do you then sterilize and clean bras that have been returned? So I think that overall, there was a bit of concern with what she had figured out within the business, like her boxes, her bras sitting on the table. It looked cute, but there was some concern about how much of this have you planned? Because Vanessa then asked about revenue and have they generated any revenue or made any profit thus far? And the answer was pretty much no, because we've only been in business 6 months. So that then makes, I'm sure, the judges think, and if you were a potential investor, think, okay, there's still some businesses that have been around for 6 months who are already turning a profit. So is there really a demand for this business? And have you really done the proper vetting? And have you really done the research and created a plan so that you know for sure that this is a viable business? But when they really started to question her with the heavy questions, she got a bit emotional, and she talked about how her and her identical twin sister were homeless for about 7 months, and this project came after their homeless stint, and how they wanted really something that they could be passionate about and believe in. And she said, I'm super passionate about this. And even if I don't make any money with this, I'm going to keep going. And obviously she got tearful, because I'm sure, you know, talking about her struggles and everything was a soft spot for her. So it made her emotional. And that really did endear the judges to her. I think it made them understand a bit of what her passion and her drive was for making this business succeed. So in the end, after considering all three pitches, they pretty much came down to Kim and Tarina as the two women to move on to the business challenge. So unfortunately, Sheila and her bras were out. Now, the business challenge this week was something a little bit different. It wasn't something that I expected, but I thought it was cool. I thought it was because it was unexpected, it was cool. The two ladies had to participate in an escape room challenge. So they had to solve a series of puzzles to escape out of the room, and the person that escaped the fastest, they were the person that was going to be the winner of the challenge. And these escape room things have been all the buzz for like the last few years. So they definitely did a good job with incorporating a current trend. So the two women, Kim and Tarina, went into the escape rooms, and they were showing us them back to back. Like, they kept cutting from one person to the other, but I had a feeling that they were probably both filmed in the same room, just at different times. And they had to figure out these clues and go through all of this stuff to eventually get the door to open. And Miss Kim, she actually got the door open with 1 minute to spare. Unfortunately, Tarina did not get the door open. The judges had some concern because they felt like Tarina gave up. They felt like when she saw that she had 1 minute to go, she sort of just gave up, because it was like, I'm not going to figure this out in 1 minute, so I'm done. So they didn't really take too kindly to that, and they discussed that and they mentioned that to her. And eventually the women had to sort of fight for themselves and say why they deserve to be queen boss and why they deserve to be there. And Kim, her whole position was that, look, I've been doing this, I want this, and I know what I'm doing, and I have a strategy, you know, like, I can figure this out, I can do this, I can be queen boss. And Tarina actually sort of came for Kim. She didn't just talk about what her skill sets were and why she deserved to be queen boss. She said, I have multiple degrees and everything like that. And I don't know how, but she must have heard some part of Kim's pitch and knew that Kim might not have been exceeding her full potential for some type of blockage or fear, or, you know, maybe hesitation to really grow and let this jam business be as huge as it could be. Somehow Tarina seemed to know about that, and she tapped into that and she said, I have multiple degrees and basically I'm not afraid to win, unlike Kim. And it was like, ooh, that was a little nasty. And Kim didn't like that. She's like, you know what? Tarina doesn't know me. And I'm like, yes, Kim, she doesn't know you. All she knows is what's going on in this show. And I'm sure it's a stressful time because everyone wants to win. Tarina said that she was competitive when they showed the two women talking after Tarina had basically threw a dig at Kim. They showed them talking and Tarina said, I'm competitive. So that let me know that's why she sort of came for her like that, because she wanted the judges to see her in a favorable light. She wanted to win. In the end, Miss Kim and her jams, okay, Jams by Kim, she walked away the winner. She walked away victorious for this episode. So she's moving on to the final round. And I think the judges were really pleased with choosing her because they felt like if she could just get out of her own way of letting this her jam company be as big as it possibly could be, it really had the potential. She already had the product. She already had the planning. She had a good understanding of the business. She had the passion. She just needs to get out of her own way. So in the end, Kim walked away as the winner, and I was really excited for her. So I'm excited to see what she'll do, and hopefully she'll be able to secure a better deal than the Whole Foods deal, or maybe she'll be able to get a salesperson on her side who can come in and negotiate a better deal with a Whole Foods, because I really find it hard to believe that that's the kind of deal that Whole Foods is giving everybody. Maybe they just sensed her newness in this space and said, hey, this is what we'll offer you for right now. I don't know, but either way, I wish her all the best, and I look forward to seeing what the ladies are going to be pitching and doing in episode 5. We will have that recap for you next week. So the show comes on Saturday, and I will try to get you the episode recap by Monday. So look out for that, and as always, thanks for hanging with me, and keep killing it. If you've made it this far and you like what you've heard, share if you care. That was corny, right? But anyway, I'd be super grateful on the real if you'd subscribe on iTunes and if you'd rate us. Definitely would also appreciate you telling a friend. Thanks for hanging out with us, and as always, keep killing it.